Hello, welcome to BSing with Sean K on Radio Free Brooklyn. I am your host, Sean Neese. And on this show, I talk with people who live outside the box and provide a platform for opinions not often heard in the mainstream media. And usually I have long-form interviews with artists, activists, bloggers, comedians, and other people pursuing their creative and intellectual passions and not living the typical 9-to-5 lifestyle. But this episode is a little bit more good old-fashioned BSing. It's more of just a back and forth, and I think it's a, you know, it's an entertaining conversation to listen to, and I think it's good to have something light like that out while the world is so chaotic. But we did talk a bit about Corona in this interview, not from any sort of professional perspective, but just, you know, what's going on in our day-to-day lives. And the guest is Eric Sanchez. It's a conversation I had with Eric Sanchez. He's an improviser, programmer, and video editor. And I met him in my improv level 2 class at The Pit, which is the People's Improv Theater in New York, New York. And I've had a lot of my recent guests talk about improv. We do talk about improv a bit, but also some of the projects he's been working on and some of the projects I have been working on as well, this podcast and others and some of the writing I do. And we just talk about the industry and also how Corona has affected our lives. It's interesting, you know, how everybody kind of has that in common now, no matter what part of the world they're in. And I mean, he's in New Jersey, I'm in New Jersey, but I'm just saying, like, for people in other parts of the world, they also have that in common, but so do fellow New Jerseyans like ourselves. Anyway, it was an interesting conversation we got into, and I hope you enjoy it.
Sean!
Hey, what's up, man? How you doing?
How are you?
Good. Hanging in there, trying to stay productive as much as I can. What about you?
Same thing, man. It's such a weird time right now, but still working, which I'm grateful for, even with some, you know, changes that probably just come along, right, with people trying to stay afloat during these times, and just chilling at home a lot, which is not bad.
Yeah, I guess it's a good time to, like, be introspective.
I mean, so much time to, like, spend by yourself to, like, just kind of, like, reset, think about yourself, right, and your life, and just, like, everything, right?
Yeah. Yeah, it's weird. I never would have expected, like, something like this where the whole world's affected at the same time, you know?
And it's odd, too. One of my best friends growing up, he moved to Germany a while ago. He lives in Berlin, and we've been video calling a lot, and the same thing is going on over there. And in a way, I haven't felt closer to this guy than, like, in years, you know? Because he's going through the same thing. Like, when he goes outside, oh, I got to get my mask. I got to get my gloves. Oh, I don't know about taking the train right now. It feels pretty weird. Oh, I don't know what's going on with my job right now because, you know, a lot of changes and, we're, you know, they're sorting out new plans and there's, like, new – every week or so there's, like, a new, like, okay, here's how we're working. Okay, no, wait, here's how we're working because people are adjusting. And yeah, it's kind of wild just dealing, like, the whole world dealing with that at once, with this at once.
Yeah, I guess it's something people can connect more on. It's like they all have that in common. So.
Yeah, man. I had some other friends that moved to Philly recently, and we had, like, a video call. And it's funny, too, because, again, it's the same thing where, like, everyone's inside. So it's like, well, you know, what have you been doing? I don't know. Like, we both turned out that couple and us, like, both bought Yahtzee recently. I'm like, I never played that game. My wife's like, let's play these board games. It's like, they're like, yeah, we're playing all these board games. Because, like, you find all this extra time for all the shit that, like, you haven't done in a while, you know?
Yeah.
So it's kind of like the world's kind of like reorganizing itself in a way. It's like a rebirth of the world.
The reset. And it's hard. It's weird, too, because you feel like everything's scary, everything's up in the air, and then everything is also, like, super calm. It's like it almost feels like a little bit of a paradox at the same time, because while there's so much insecurity, then you're just like, I guess I'm just going to be home and watch a lot of TV, or, like, just think, or work on the side project. Like, it's not apocalyptic like you would see in movies where then, like, everyone is, like, rushing for survival. We're just like, okay, so this is happening, and I guess when I'm out of panic mode, whatever I've been meaning to work on, all right, you know, like, I've been meaning for a while to work on, like, my own, like, portfolio website, and because, you know, for work, a programmer, right, and so I do that for work all the time, but when it comes to doing my own stuff, I'm like, I'm too tired. I've been doing that all day. And while I am doing it all day right now without a commute and all that, I'm like, oh, what have I been meaning to put together to sort of show off, just kind of collect my work and have, like, one sort of repository of these are the things that I've done. I'm like, oh, I have this extra time. Okay, let me not go outside and work on this.
And what's the portfolio of? It's I know you also are interested in film a little bit too.
Sure. Yeah, it's funny because I haven't thought. I feel like for me, my interests, I don't want to say varied over time, but I've kind of touched on, like, a few different areas over time, because in some way, shape, or form, minus some maybe big lulls of being like, why am I even doing any of these creative things and just sort of quitting for a while. Minus that, those times, I mostly have been sort of, I've worked on mostly between my own project or friends, like either short films, sketch comedy-ish sort of improv video series me and my friends used to do. Also with video, I've worked on, you know, like little things that I've done for other people. So for instance, you know, interview for a lady who wanted, she just wanted a live interview, like, for her site or to promote some of, like, her work. What else have I done recently? Oh, like live band stuff. So a little bit like, editing together some, like, live, like a live concert stuff along those lines.
Like editing the footage of the concert?
The footage. Yeah. Yeah. So just like the, you know, for the bigger one that I've worked on, which still isn't out, and I was hoping these guys would put it out, there's this band called The Drafts, and they had, a couple years ago, it was, like, big reunion show, and so they had just, like, it was just two cameras, but they were, like, wild, for the whole, like, show, so just kind of cutting together, like, what you would sort of expect of, like, you know, a somewhat multi-camera, like, recording, and so doing that for them. So the website, I mean, hopefully would have, you know, at least some of these videos that I've worked on, and then, you know, a portfolio of the websites that I've worked on. Some it's like for agency. So I used to work in an agency, and there's stuff that I worked on for that. I think I have, you know, it's portfolio pieces. So when it comes to that, you don't really show up like the inner workings or the code or stuff that you worked on, but it could be like, you know, one of the first things I worked on was for like, Tyson Chicken was like one of the first things. And then I did, worked on a project that was for, Turner Broadcasting. And that was like, we worked on basically something was like, Turner, Showcase, which was like, they did a lot of, ad, basically cross branding. So for instance, the example we always go to is like, if on Conan O'Brien, they gave away, Ford pickup truck, like that's really an ad, right? It's an ad for Ford. Ford paid to have their product on there to be given away and get that like showtime, right? To be seen during that segment. And so they made a collection of all these different segments that they used, and we kind of I worked on a project where we put that together and just made it like a searchable, almost YouTube like experience. Like, oh, let me find something on Rick and Morty that was an ad for, I don't know, they did like some fast food company or something like that.
Oh, like the product placing?
Yeah, product placement, yeah. Essentially a product placement, like, thing for Turner. So those are, like, that's old project. I worked on side stuff. I did something recently for, like, a plumbing company. I worked on my wife's website that kind of shows her art, and like her commissions and stuff like that. So between those two things, maybe between video, websites, maybe some photography, you know, I try and take like photos like on the side that I do try, and I wouldn't consider myself like a photographer, but I have ones that I think came out pretty good on,
yeah, I mean, I've taken some with, my phone when I did it. I did like a photography class.
Yeah.
Back in when I was doing my master. Well, I did one for undergrad too. And just like, I took some pictures that I really liked, but just my phone that came out pretty good.
Yeah, if you know what you're doing a little bit, or you get the lighting right, or you get whatever, it's like, these are great. You might as well, like, have a forum to show. I mean, most people just post stuff on Instagram, which is great, too. But I feel like, yeah, sometimes you kind of hit those where you're like, this is, I don't want to, you know, to my own horn or to your own horn, but it's like, this is art, man. Like, that was a good freaking shot, you know?
Yeah, it's weird because it's kind of intuitive. Like, you don't know what makes how you capture a good photo. It's just kind of in the moment. Like, usually candid photos come out better for some reason. Like, when you least expect it, you just kind of capture. It's weird. It's kind of because I almost feel it's intuitive, like, taking a good photo. Like, it's hard to logically map out, like, how you would do it. It's just kind of something you know. Like, all right, I'm going to take the shot here. Then it comes out. Good. I haven't really studied photography thoroughly, but it's just interesting, like, what makes a good photographer and a good photo.
Sure, man. And I think it's funny too that you say, because I'm like, dude, I have no idea either. Now, I know there's definitely science behind it, and there are some photographers, I'm sure there would like be some photographers maybe listen to this and like cringe and be like, dude, this is why people take, I see bad photos all the time. They don't know how to like arrange things, or, you know, the lighting or the colors. And I'm like, I don't know what I'm doing. Like, I used to get, I used to do way back a like live, like art and music blog sort of thing called Sugar and Thunder. And one of the things that we got from back then was, you get photo passes for concerts at like sometimes cool, like Gramercy Theater or whatever. Right. And I'd be like, dude, I have no idea what I'm doing. And I would show up. And so there's one instance, I don't know if you heard of this band called Pepper.
I haven't heard of them, no.
They were playing Gramercy Theater. They're cool. But
is
anyway.
Is it like an indie band? Or?
Ish. They have like one big song, I think. I'd have to look it up. I don't remember. It's been a little while. But anyway, dude, I show up and I have like, you know, this is probably somewhere like 2009 or so. So remember like digital cameras from then? They're like these little like kind of point and shoot ones, right? Mm-hmm. So like I got a photo pass. I'm like, dude, I'm getting to the show for free. This is awesome. And there, and what they do when you get a photo pass for a band, you basically get to go behind the barricade, and generally they'll give you like the first three songs to like go to town, like, and take pictures, and then you gotta leave. And you know, I show up, I got this like little like not even DSLR, it's like a little point and shoot one, a Kodak something. And there are photographers there, like the people who know what they're doing, and they're like got these massive lenses. Like I wouldn't even know, be able to tell you like what kind of lens they are, and they are like, you know, I'm kind of, this is probably not one of the most awkward, but it's pretty awkward because I'm standing there like, all right, like I got this little thing, but what I realize is too is those guys know what they're doing, and that's fine. But if you don't know what you're doing, you go for it, man. If you take like 200 pictures, man, you're going to get like five good ones. And that's all you really need, right?
Yes. You take enough bad ones. I guess it's just taking a lot of bad photos to get to the good one.
Yeah. And you adjust and try and figure it out. Okay, this looks good. That doesn't look good. So even if I feel like sort of like improv too, you know, like if you don't, when you're learning too, like even if you don't know per se exactly what you're doing, you kind of, here's a life lesson from improv, right? Yes, and the situation. Like, I'm going to do it, and I'm going to keep going until it's done. And I'm gonna see if I can get out of it, and then move on with my life.
Yeah. Yeah, so we met in the improv level two class at the Pit, and then we were going to do the live, we were going to do the final show for the class, but then this happened, so then that got canceled, the grad show for the improv level two.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so you talked about doing sketch comedy before this. Is that what led you to do improv?
I think a little bit. I think sort of like the photography, there's got to be like, I think, a running theme in my experience of just going for things without knowing what I'm doing, which I think is also good, but also holds you back after a while because you kind of plateau, right? Because if you don't know how to do stuff, like, it's hard to get better. So way back when, like, me and my friend Mike, the guy who moved to Berlin, we used to, like, I mean, I just bought a video camera, and I was like, dude, we should just, like, film stuff and have fun with it. And so we started one of these, like, half-real, half-like, fake things. So it was still Mike and Eric, but, like, these, like, exaggerated lifestyles. And we kind of took this idea of making, it was, like, a news show that with, like, sort of real news. The idea was basically us being, like, at first, it was just like drunk assholes in front of the camera saying stupid shit, to be honest. And that sort of turned into me also filming just wild stuff, like, you know, other friends, just like my brother, like just going on like maybe his rants on something else silly. And I'd film that. And then at some point I'd be like, well, if we build this character and we have him edit this scene, then I could take this other thing that I filmed for real and start meshing in. So there's always this mesh of filming real things and then taking these sort of improvised scenes and putting it together to tell a story. And we'd write premises, but we didn't write scenes. And so we'd say, you know, I don't know, what would be a good example? Like, this, you know, the show is starting. We're going to talk about what we're planning on doing today. This guy's going to interrupt, and then we're going to argue, and then that'll lead to the next scene where, because in the show we also, you are aware that we were filming something, so then we would talk about how we're going to film the next scene. So we kind of just jump in and do that. Eventually, you know, he moved away, and I kind of never picked up on anything along those lines again, where I felt like I was either acting or improvising, which is, you know, you've experienced suits. It's fun, man. You know, you're getting out in front of people. You're pulling something up that, like, didn't exist before you created it. And so I thought that it would be a good idea because I always felt like I was a little weak at it, to be honest. My friend Mike was way better at it than I was. Like, let me learn. Part of my motivation, anyway, for joining the pit was, like, let me learn how to do this right. I never, like I said, I used to play guitar. It took me years before I was ever like, let me learn like chords. I wanted a video edit and learn on my own, which is fine, but I kind of hit a wall. I wanted to all sorts of photography, as I mentioned, and like I would just learn on my own. And when it came down to this, I'm like, dude, I'm not that great at learning shit on my own. I'm better at taking classes and learning shit. Like, why not let other people teach me? What's with this like rebellious, like I have to learn everything on my own? So that was part of why I was just motivated to say, like, oh, let me actually take classes in this. I tried this before, I enjoyed it, but I didn't think I was very good. Let me learn how to do this right.
Yeah. Yeah, so do you think you'd want to go back to doing skits again?
Dude, I think what I feel like would be almost ideal, and I'm sure other people work this way too, is take that same thing of, like, take a premise, improv it, document that in some way, refine that, and then make the skits. Like, that would be killer. I feel like that's, like, would be the sweet spot for me.
Like, improvising a scene first, and then doing a scripted scene based off what you improvise?
Yeah, like, use that to sort of, like, just mine the fucking creative ether, right? You know? Mm-hmm. Like, to pull some stuff out that maybe you wouldn't expect, and then use that as a base to then start writing some stuff, I think would be really fun.
Yeah, and luckily I remember most improv scenes I've done. I don't know, I remember most things. It's weird, but...
Yeah?
Like, and there's definitely been a lot, like, I've done that I could see being a good skit. Like, when I was this hypnotist with that ran this store, and like he gave people who came into the store coffee, so then they would become his servants.
Okay.
Yeah, and it was kind of like a cult within this little store. It was pretty, I don't know. It was interesting. I liked that character I did. It was kind of funny. It was like this mystic, what was his name? Like Lord Zoltar or something like that. Like, you've come into my shop.
Like, yeah.
Yeah.
And then you start building up, like, did you have a few people in the scene? Like, is it one of those things where, like, one by one, like, everyone just starts becoming, like, a cult follower?
Yeah, I mean, and then somebody else was, like, a cult leader, like, the other cult leader, too.
Yeah.
I
like that. I feel like, do you find, like, when you're doing an improv scene, are you generally aware of, like, trying to, like, find a game in the scene?
I mean, it develops or more organically.
Yeah. I ask too because I feel like, I guess when it specifically does, come to improv, I feel like, I don't know how, like, so in that example too, I feel like, let's say I was up there with you, it's like, okay, am I going to fall into, am I going to become one of these, coffee slaves? Or am I going to fight this guy? Am I going to rebel? Am I going to cause the conflict to get out of this?
Yeah.
But,
it's about choices, is what you're saying? Like, there's different choices you can make with it, is what you're saying? Rather than just going along with...
Yeah, yeah, like, do you start, like, causing, like, the, like, do you yes end forever, or do you, like, start causing the conflict?
Well, I think the main thing about yes and is yes anding that you don't deny the reality. That doesn't mean you have to agree with the character, necessarily.
True.
Yeah, I think you can disagree with the character at the scene, but you don't deny... Like, if somebody says, oh, I'm a squirrel, you don't say, no, you're not a squirrel. But, like, you can disagree with the squirrel, but you can't deny there's a squirrel.
You're right. And you know what's funny, too? I think you've been to a lot of jams, right? I mean, that's all of Triple Crown, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And some at the pit. Like, after the class, I went to some of the after class jams at the pit, too.
That, right on, yeah. I think, no, I never made one with you, but, I did go to a couple with some of the other guys in our class. And one thing I realized, too, though, I do feel like when you learn you learn a lot of these rules in improv, and then it's funny, do you ever catch yourself, like, watching an improv show and then getting mad because you see people break some of them?
Maybe on occasion. Maybe if someone says, you're this, no, I'm not this, I'm that, yeah.
So it came in, it's like, oh, hi, doctor, whatever. I'm not the doctor. It's like, dude.
Yeah, because it's like, where do you go from there if someone says, I'm not the doctor, you know?
Put someone on the spot. Or another, which is maybe a slightly more advanced topic that we didn't get to in level two, is background miming. I'm sure maybe you've seen some of that where, like, people are, like, motioning around without making any sounds. Right?
Yeah, just to make the scene feel alive, you mean?
Yeah, yeah. And I was watching the scene, and, you know, a few people are pulling that off, and then, you know, this other guy said he's doing it, and the girl's like, well, you just seem so crazy moving around and not saying anything. And I was like, oh, why'd you do that to him? How could you? Right, because he's moving around, he's moving his hands, but he's not saying anything. She's like, why aren't you saying anything? You look crazy just moving around like that.
Yeah, that kind of puts him on the spot. Yeah. Well, and you're not supposed to really ask questions in improv either.
Yeah. Yeah. How dare you do that to this poor man just trying to... jam with you guys, doesn't even know you.
So you do have an interest in entertainment, though. That seems to be, I guess, where a lot of, even though I know you mentioned, you know, you're a tech too, but but entertainment, is that like a main area of interest for you?
Yeah, I think what's interesting is, like, there's always been a little bit of a battle between I really want to do this and I'm, like, so afraid of doing it in the entertainment, putting myself on the spot, putting myself in front of people, right? But so the answer to that is yes, but it's always been, like, a little half-measured in the past. So I think that one reason why I'm interested in following through with improv is to say, like, yeah, I mean, it's so cheesy, but I love it. The pits, like, follow the fear. So, like, Yeah, I love Entertainment. I've been trying to, in the past, do it, like I said, it's a little half-measured, like, not, like, basically too afraid of putting myself in front of people, so always, like, I'm trying a little bit, and then I back off, and what's great about improv, it's like, you just dive in. So, yeah, I've been, like, kind of focused on Entertainment and that sort of art form, and yeah, I mean, if anything right now, at least my attempt with the pit, we'll see where, you know, things go with, like, quarantine and everything, but I think this step was sort of, like, trying to give myself, like, a round two. Like I said, I worked really hard on these things when I was younger, and then took a sort of break, saying, like, why even bother with any of this kind of stuff, and then, so this was sort of my getting back into the game sort of moment.
Yeah. Well, I feel like when you do things that you're terrified of doing, then you feel really good after you did it. You know, like when you get up and perform or do something like that you're nervous about doing, then it feels real good after you do it. And it's almost like an adrenaline rush. Sometimes, like I'm thinking about when I performed some spoken word stuff I wrote earlier last year, I think it was, and then I wrote some more stuff. I didn't get, but I'm wanting to get back to do that. And I remember before I did that, I was a little nervous, like reading this stuff. But then after I read it, I felt like energized, like that I performed my spoken word stuff. So it's like you're not used to, like, you can be nervous about doing something, but then when you finally do it, it's like, I don't know, it just feels good to get out of your comfort zone and do that.
Absolutely, man. I think even I remember one time meeting up with my wife right after, like, one of my classes, even, that I just had, like, a really good class. Like, you know, like, sometimes you're doing your scenes in class and you are still performing in front of people. They're just your classmates. And her saying, like, I look like I was, like she could tell that I had, like, it's like a high of sorts. She's like, really, like how people talk about, like, a runner's high, which I've never had and probably never will have, because it doesn't. But basically, I guess the equivalent of a runner's high, but from performing. And it's, even if it doesn't go great, I mean, there is something about just putting yourself out there, catching those moments that go good, that just feel so damn good after. And I felt that after my level one graduation show. I mean, that was like a huge moment for me, just because I didn't, you know, I invited my wife and a friend, and there were like a bunch of people that other classmates invited that were strangers, but it's like, oh man, like I did it. Like I went out, pushed myself to do it, had that nervousness, had that fear, but at the end, it wasn't even about how well or not every scene might have gone. It was really about doing it at all. And how well the scenes went was almost second to that. But it's huge putting yourself out there and getting those chances to kind of show what you're working on. And it's literally a step in getting better. Like, if you, for myself, I don't know if you feel this way, but I feel like if you don't feel like you're where you want to be, it takes putting yourself out there and maybe not doing the best to really see those points that you can learn from. You know?
Yeah. Yeah, you learn through messing up.
Yeah. But you said you sort of on a different note, something you mentioned before, but it sounds like you do a lot of writing. Is that right?
Yeah, so on my website there's a lot of writing I do, and I've done, like, I've performed it sometimes, spoken word, only at this one Stark Reality open mic. I've been wanting to do other open mics, but I mean, obviously now I can't do that, but I do have it out there on my website, like different spoken word. And I have stories I've written and like little screenplays, like writing articles too, actually feature stories.
Yeah.
That I did is like, and some newsletters for this podcast that I did on, like, when I interviewed a guy who is a DJ at Otto Shrunken Head, I did a newsletter on that place and like the punk rock night he has on Thursday nights. They also actually have improv shows on there sometimes too. So it's just Thursdays. It's like a punk rock.
That's theme, awesome.
But yeah.
That's cool, man. Now, do you write? So have you written more like scripted sketches or like?
I haven't really written sketches. I did write a short film script a while ago. I never did anything with it though. About a woman that's a prophet, and yeah. She comes to this small town, and the town's kind of isolated. And then she teaches like about like peace and. Like a very peaceful message, but then they all take the people in the town take it the wrong way, and they start killing people in her name. And it was just sort of satirical piece on fundamentalism and how, you know, even a peaceful message could be interpreted in a negative way.
Wow. Yeah. No, I can see that, man. Yeah, I think that seems like it's the go-to. Like, if you are following a cult mentality, someone's gonna die.
Or they're gonna kill. So what are your current projects you're working on? You mentioned that you're using this time in quarantine to do some other projects.
Yeah, I'm trying to catch up on a few things. I just wrapped up. There's if I can pronounce people's names, that would be great. Let me see. Sorry for the clapping. There's an artist named Al Barrett. I think her last name's Berniar, Berniar. She does art, of course, on her own, but also through this group called Chishama. And one of the projects that she was wanting to do this year was work on a book of her, like paintings, and sort of put those together. She's done tea before, but this one, it was just some of her newer stuff. And so one thing that I'm pretty sure I just finally put the cap on that I did in the beginning of sort of lockdown was just put the final touches on that and get it sent out to the printer, which was basically my job there was to select and arrange the images on it and get in, you know, the text, basically like layout design. And I worked a little bit with my wife too, to like, you know, my second set of eyes, and she's an artist too. So she's got maybe even a better eyes for some of these things than I do. So I was able to work on that and send out to order a few copies to her. She was going to have like a big sort of like, you know, book party something, but this kind of stuff came down. So we're like, at least let's cap this off. So when that time does come, she can release that. And so that was one project that, I think has, I'm like happy to like feel like I at least like accomplished like during this time. And then what else? I worked on another video in Hoboken. There's another friend of ours, you know, this lady, Jani Wolf, who has a blog called, I think, Abundant Life. And she's working with some of these restaurants in Hoboken, because I live in Jersey City, so Hoboken's real close by. And basically, you know, a lot of these restaurants are shut down, or some of them, you know, decide to shut down. Some can stay open, but one in particular, from a guy whose name is Chef Anthony Pino, he's doing like a GoFundMe page to kind of support some of the work. There's a Hoboken shelter and people working on, like, you know, the hospitals, like the frontline workers who are like dealing with the patients who have the coronavirus. And so one of the things he was doing is, I think he's doing GoFundMe where basically like every $50, you can make three like really nice, like, I mean, this is like a higher end restaurant. So he does like nice meals, for the workers. So like every $50 makes three meals. So she went down, our friend Jani, she went down and shot, just like a couple different clips of him just talking about what he's doing, why he's doing it, and how it's going to work. And she sent me that footage, and I just put together, like, edited a video for her for his GoFundMe page. I'll shout that out to GoFundMe, Chef Pino, P-I-N-O, Feed It Forward. And that's supporting, like I said, just, like, getting some meals out for at no cost to the, you know, the workers, but getting some meals out to them during this time. So that was a cool project. So I was working on that. I worked on a video for my friend Rob Corbino. He's got a band called Midnight Foolishness, and he was recording. So he did this. He recorded right before the quarantine, but he was recording a new album with his band, and he had a guest drummer, this guy named Eric Moore, I think, and I forget what band he's from, but he's really good. And so he shot some footage of the guy just recording one of his songs for him, and I kind of just like cut together again with just like a little bit of just some footage of the guy playing and them hanging out a little bit, and that's something that he's probably gonna throw up on his probably on his Instagram in a probably sometime in the next like week or so if he hasn't already. And you know, it's just like these little like one off projects of just trying to like again if it's like help out a friend who's got like a little thing they want to put together. And then like I said, kind of focus on just collecting my stuff that I've worked on before, work on, you know, get my portfolio set up. Like, I'm like, oh, I finally bought my URL. It's not live yet, but it's eroc, eroc.dip. Because that's a killer, I think, website ending for someone who's, like, a developer and also interested in other stuff. So hopefully I'll have that up soon. I've been working on it through the week, and I'll have that up probably at least, like, a landing page in the next, like, week or so. And then from there, probably just kind of go through my little archives and see some of this work that I worked on way back and just pull in some stuff that I want to show off. I have, like, a short film, me and my friend, also the guy Mike who moved to the Berlin guy, maybe called Ogden, which is about a guy. We don't know if he's a time traveler or if he's crazy, but he says he's a secretary. It's actually probably the only film probably ever made. There was a secretary of treasury or guy named Ogden Mills, and so we picked like almost like this random, not very well known historical figure and just made a story about him. Maybe either he's a crazy person who thinks he's this guy, or he is this guy and he's stuck in the present and doesn't know what to make of it and is kind of freaked out by modern society.
And that's something you haven't gotten to film yet. You're just sort of in the brainstorming stages with that, or
that one's filmed. That's what I was saying. I was kind of might just pull from my archives of stuff. I mean, that one is we filmed probably like 2011. So when I get my site up, I might just like kind of feature that, like pull it back up. We made it a while ago. There used to be a film festival called Royal Flush Film Festival. That prior to that was Evil City Film Festival. That was East Village Film Festival, which is a one and only film festival that I had some stuff in way back, which was a short film. And it's kind of after having it there, I had it online for a little while on YouTube, which is fine. And then, as I kind of mentioned, there's a time where I pulled everything down and was like, no good and not worth having anything up. So I pulled everything down. So part of the process of working on this website is actually getting some of these older projects back live and hopefully use that as motivation to kind of work on some new stuff once we're free again.
Yeah. So is the interest in filmmaking and has that always been there on some level?
Yeah, man. I can't tell you exactly like what it started, but like the second I was able to like really afford like a camera and like start running around with it, which is a little bit older, maybe like I don't know, maybe like 18 or 19. I was like, not even soon. Well, in high school, even me and my friends like threw together like some like short movie stuff. But it's funny because I've always had this like interest in making movies that I've kind of like pulled towards and pulled away. Even now, I have like there's two story scripts that I have in mind that like I really want to at least write out, but there's something, I don't know why, I don't know what it's almost borderline an obsession because I almost feel like sometimes I don't have a skill, but it's like, I want to write a movie, I want to direct a movie, and I want to act in a movie, you know? I don't know if you get that feeling sometimes too. It's almost
like you want to do everything.
Yeah, like I want to do everything, yeah. Because I have like a lot of ideas that I want to write out. I love the process of like filming and like editing. And then I really like being in it, which is all the things where I said, you know, I've gone like with like driving with the handbrake on where I've like stepped towards and then pulled away because of whatever little like fears or something. But that interest is just like always been there, man. And what I've coming to realize just like a little bit older is like it really is like if other people can do it, you can do it kind of thing. I'm not saying everyone becomes like a Hollywood superstar, but like if you, Sean, were like, you want to write a script and make a movie, like, figure it out. People do it, right?
Yeah, it's just about getting reliable people together to do it. And, you know, people that actually want to get to the filming, not just, like, talking about when they're going to film it. It's hard to find, you know, the right group of people that are going to stay dedicated and everything. Yeah.
I think it depends on, like, the project and the, like, the real skill set people and who's, like, really willing to, like, learn who, yeah. I mean, there's a difference between thinking, like, it would be fun to do this and being, like, oh, shit, we got to, like, get this together.
You know? Yeah. Yeah, you need to find people, like, on the that are as serious as you about making something.
Yeah. And you also, I think, so one thing that is hard when you're, I think, for anything, and I learned this a lot more just, like, through projects at work, but there really is, like, an order of operations, or to a degree, that you should, like, okay, you want to make a movie? Let's prove that you want to do it. Let's get your script together, right? First draft. Get it together. If you have that, then you can talk, really, the next steps, because if you're like, who's going to play some part? It's like, all right, well, what's the character? It's like, eh, it's not really done yet. I don't know. It's like, all right, you're getting ahead of yourself, right? So I think... kind of, like, I've actually told myself, too, there's certain things that I won't let myself do or buy because I know I'm not, like, ready for it yet, like some, like, camera gear. I'm like, dude, you have this stuff on your plate that you haven't edited. You have this other stuff you haven't worked. You don't get to take step 3 and 4 when you haven't done, like, 1 and 2.
Yeah.
When it comes to making, a movie or whatever, it's like, yeah, get your script together. Get a draft in. It doesn't have to be perfect, but get it beginning to end, and then you can talk about next steps and really, like, plan things out.
Yeah. And it doesn't hurt to be flexible in entertainment, like, to enjoy doing more than one thing, because then that gives you more options on the kind of work you can do if you want, like, a full-time career in the entertainment and media industry.
Yeah, I think you're the one telling me recently about just doing, like, some, like, background work or something, too, which, you know, actually sounds awesome, right?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I did it for, like, 5 years, so I'm kind of, like, done with it at this point. Yeah. Yeah. I mean that, and then I got like a regular day job to like pay the bill. Well, now I'm getting like paid time off. I'm not, cause I can't really work from home with that job. But like, it was good for a while just to like see what the TV set is like. And then I got more interested in, you know, doing like actual acting roles or, you know, finding more work on the production side of things. But I did enjoy background for like, I did a, for like 2014 to, well, I mean, I did some work in 2019, but not as much.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
I think what's cool about your experience on there is that it's good to sort of see how other people do their stuff, like the professional, bigger production sort of situation. And then when you want to do your like more indie stuff, like you don't have to follow all those rules, but you can pull in from that experience a little bit.
Yeah, because you see how they do it professionally.
Yeah, yeah, it's the same thing, like, with, like, when I work on my programming side projects, I've done all this, like, big, sort of, quote-unquote, production stuff for work. I'm working on some of this side, I'm like, oh, I got this, right? And I think that you can, for yourself, like, really pull in a lot of that knowledge that you got from doing the background work and stuff into whichever projects that, like, you might want to work on next. Do you have anything, do you have, like, a sketch or a movie or, like, a short film or something that you feel like you might... hit next?
I mean, I have like the basic draft of like a couple ideas, but there was one film project I wanted to work on and then work on, but then the one person I was working on it with, it ended up not being like a good fit, but I still have the script, so maybe I could, I don't know. I mean, it was originally my idea, and he just kind of added to it, so okay. I'm guessing I could still do the script with someone else, so.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure, man. That's cool. Is it is it something more towards comedy, or is it a little more serious?
A little more serious. I guess the ideas I've had have been more serious.
Yeah.
Even though I do, like, a lot of comedic acting.
Yeah, yeah. I think that's always been hard for me, like, the more serious roles. I definitely haven't really captured that in storytelling or really acting of, like, something that's, like... like really serious. I kind of always lean towards funny to like absurd borderline nonsense, but there's something that like personally I really love about like sort of what you get out of improv, like sometimes like the using the logic to things that feel kind of extreme and unusual.
Yeah. Well, like living in that reality, like having a logic to the reality even though it's not this it wouldn't work in this reality.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Like, I love, like, I wouldn't want to be, like, the straight man character or something like that. Like, I like being, like, the, like, crazier role, but knowing that it's rooted in, like, someone else could see that's like, oh, yeah, that would be, that's ridiculous. You know? Yeah. But, yeah, man, I don't know where you're at, but maybe we get out of this quarantine, man, and write a sketch or two, dip our toes into...
Oh, yeah. Yes, well, actually, as soon as you said that you had some, you were wanting to get back into sketch comedy, I was thinking, like, you know, I'd like to do some acting and some sketches and stuff if you have any you wanted to work on.
Yeah, man. What's great, I think, about that environment, really short turnaround. Like, you have, like, an idea. One sketch is, like, one sketch. It's not a whole production. It's not a whole, like, crazy script. It's not a whole giant effort. Just bang out a few things, and then you get through the run of the acting, filming, and editing, right? Mm-hmm. And then, well, writing first, right? And then acting, filming, editing, and then you have, like, a little piece of something, you know? And it's a good way to sort of kind of get back into that realm, man. So that'd be really cool to talk through something like that. I feel like I like your sense of, like, seriousness that you find, but then also it through doing improv and sort of, like, your character that you're mentioning, like, a cult leader of, like, the sort of, like, being able to step into, like, the absurd kind of...
Yeah. Yeah. Well, doing the absurd, like, acting is really fun. But then it's, like, interesting because then when I have story ideas... Like, I have a lot of, like drafts and stuff of, like, different stories. And then some of them, there's a couple that are, like, written out, too. But I just would probably change it up if I were to actually film it. But usually those are more serious.
Yeah.
And I guess I watch a lot of, like, serious shows, too. I mean, I started watching more comedy shows, too. But,
so. What serious shows have you checked out?
Well, right now, The Wire I'm watching. I've been real into The Wire.
Yeah.
And, of course, like, Breaking Bad. I mean, that's sort of serious. Not, like, super...
It has its funny moments, but it's definitely serious.
Yeah, yeah. And... some of the more, like, darker, like, Marvel shows I watch. And then The Sopranos I liked a lot.
Cool, man. Yeah. I saw The Sopranos. Hulu added HBO for quarantine for everyone, and they threw The Sopranos on there. I'm like, finally, my chance. I haven't actually watched The Sopranos.
Oh, so that must be why it's on Prime. That's why it must be why I have The Wire on Prime, because of the quarantine then.
Yeah, probably. Yeah. Quarantine Batman, that actually is really cool of them to, like, extend that for everyone right now.
Yeah.
Also probably weird, I'm sure there's people who are paying for it that are like, hey, I paid for it this whole time, but forget about it.
Yeah. Well, and Better Call Saul is really good, too. I think it's about as good as Breaking Bad, actually, especially with the more recent episodes.
I haven't seen the most recent season. I need to, but I really like Better Call Saul, too. And I think they've done like, a really good job at it kind of standing on its own while still, like, giving you all the, like, not quite all the cameos or, like, Easter eggs or whatever that you'd really appreciate about knowing that it's part of Breaking Bad, but it's still kind of...
It stands on its own, like, more than other prequels, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. But also, Bob Odenkirk, who plays Saul, it's, like, he started out as a comedic actor, and I'm sure he did improv. I know he did stand-up.
Yeah,
and then now with this, he's showing more of a dramatic range, and he got other parts in more dramatic films too. So it's nice to have that range. And, like, I want to learn how to, like, master both, like, the dramatic and the comedic.
Yeah, I think there's something really interesting too, and it's a good point that you bring up, because I think there's a few, like, comedians who start off and you think comedian, haha, how do you get serious? But I think that there's two things you get about that. Usually, a lot of times, you know, comedians are pulling in sometimes something a little bit darker that they show in the comedy, right? Mm-hmm. And that at some point they're able to, it seems, let a little bit of that go and reveal, like, a little bit of that, like, a little bit more truth to that too. And I think you could probably, not that I know Bob Odenkirk's, like, story, but I generally feel like that's something that you hear just a lot about comedians in general.
Yeah, well, because it's almost like laughing and being comedic is a way for them to cope with maybe darker things
going
through. I think that was probably the case with Robin Williams.
Sure.
And then later on, Robin Williams played a lot more serious roles, too. I mean, he even played villains at times, too. And the same with Jim Carrey.
Yeah.
Anything else that we didn't cover or any final thoughts you want to say?
Man, well, thanks for having me on this, man. I think that especially like at a time with like all this quarantine stuff going on, even though, you know, I can go out and go for a walk, for me personally, it's great having a break from just, you know, everything else going on and just kind of being able to hang out with someone from my improv class for a little bit, man. I wish we got to do our show. It would have been great to work with you. And I hope we get to again. And, you know, I hope to really get together. This, as I've mentioned, is one of – doing this alone is one of the few pieces I feel like are putting back together me in my time now of getting back on track creatively.
Improv and, like, talking about improv and everything? Yeah.
Yeah, talking about improv, talking about some of the projects that I've worked on, getting out to connecting more with another guy like yourself just about creative projects and seeing where other people are at. It's a motivating factor for me. So as much as I feel like I can give to you as a guest for your show, you've given a lot to me as just adding another nice building block to keeping up my motivation for my project. So just thank you for the opportunity.
Oh yeah, no problem. Yeah. It's good that people are getting back to like calling and stuff like this. Like, it's definitely better to talk like over a Skype call than just text, you know?
Yeah. I think, you know, texting is cool. Of course, you know, I did a lot too, and there's a bunch of people I just shot like text to just check on a little bit. But I think having that, it's immersive when you talk to someone, you kind of get out of the realm of whatever else might be going on for a little bit. And kind of focus a little bit more on your thoughts and the thoughts of the person you're talking to. So I think doing that in general, whether it's, you know, for your show or just with friends and family right now, is really like a healthy thing to do right now. So
thank you for listening to BSing with Sean K on Radio Free Brooklyn. That was our conversation. I do hope you enjoyed it. And as we discussed in the interview, it is good that people are having more time to talk on the phone and really connect, not just through text. I'm trying to do more of that. I haven't been doing too many of those Zoom meetups or Zoom classes because I just think it's a bit awkward to be talking to a group of people or performing improv or doing a meditation or whatever the group is through a screen. I mean, unless you have to meet for like a school you're in or you teach a class, then I can understand. But just as a leisure thing, it seems a bit awkward. Like, I mean, you're just on your phone or you're on your computer and you're talking to a bunch of other people. Some of them you haven't even met through other screens on the computer. It's just weird to me. But maybe I'll give it a shot if this goes on a little bit longer. Before we wrap up, I have some important announcements to make regarding Radio Free Brooklyn. If you like to listen to Radio Free Brooklyn when you're not in front of your computer, please consider downloading our free mobile app for both iPhone and Android. And it's available in the App Store for iPhone or the Google Play Store for Android. Now, the next announcement I have to make is regarding the Radio Free Brooklyn newsletter. Please be sure to subscribe to our monthly newsletter for the latest news about new programming and upcoming Radio Free Brooklyn events. You can sign up at radiofreebrooklyn.org/newsletter. Now, the last announcement I'm making is about the coronavirus and Radio Free Brooklyn's fundraising for that. Friends, COVID-19, the coronavirus, is disrupting. I'm not sure how to like correctly say that code, but the coronavirus is disrupting everyone's lives right now, and Radio Free Brooklyn is no exception. We want you to know that we have made every effort to ensure the health and well-being of our hosts, staff, and the community at large. We've closed both our studios and canceled live events.
but our hosts are still doing their best to continue bringing new original programming by broadcasting live and pre-recording from their home studios, or by selecting the best rebroadcasts of their past shows. With most of our revenue streams evaporated, we need your help. We realize you may be hurting too, but if you can afford a small donation, it would go a long way toward helping us stay on the air. There are three ways you can help. First, you can give a one-time or monthly donation by going to radiofreebrooklyn.org/donate. There, you'll find some great t-shirts, mugs, and other swag that we'd like to send you to say thanks. You can also use your phone to text RFB Give 5. That's the number 5. So it's RFB GIVE 5, number 5, to 44321. It only takes a moment, and you'll be able to use your digital wallet for your donation. Finally, if you shop on Amazon, you can go to amazon.com/smile. Smile. And register Radio Free Brooklyn as the nonprofit you wish to support. When you do, a percentage of your sales will go to Radio Free Brooklyn, and it will cost you nothing. Now look, no donation is too big or too small. Whatever you can afford will make a huge difference. We thank you from the bottom of our hearts and wish all our listeners health and happiness as we weather this storm together. If you want to keep updated with future episodes of BSing with Sean K, you can go to my website, seannice.com, or bfsingwithseankblogspot.com, or I'm also on Spotify and iTunes, and of course every on the Radio Free Brooklyn mobile app. There's past episodes, and also every Monday, 1 a.m. to 2 a.m. My show airs, so I'll be back next week, and you can listen to that. I mean, technically it's late Sunday night. It's the way I usually would think of it, but it's early Monday morning, 1 a.m. to 2 a.m. And you can listen on the Radio Free Brooklyn mobile app, which I just talked about. It's great. I highly recommend it. Or you can listen on the Radio Free Brooklyn website. So, also, if you want to follow Eric, my guest for today, and his upcoming projects, you can follow him on Instagram at erockdanger, that's E-R-O-C-K danger on Instagram. That's at erockdanger. And yeah, he'll keep you posted about everything there. Thank you for listening to Radio Free Brooklyn. Your support keeps this station going. We highly appreciate it. Each and every one of you, except for the trolls. So anyway, I'll catch you on the next episode. BSing with Sean K.